Hey, this is Ryan Thomas. Thanks so much for listening to On the Road and supporting Faith Radio. You are just the very best, and we appreciate you so much. Enjoy the show.
Discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short. I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short. I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
The power of a beautifully crafted song paired with a message of God's goodness is astounding. And there are some songs so beloved and powerful, they've been sung across centuries. Celebrated guitarist, music critic, and author Henry Carrigan explores the stories and the message of some of the most treasured hymns and spirituals of all in his just-released book, 15 Spirituals That Will Change Your Life. And we'll dig into these tales today. Welcome aboard, Henry. Is it proving a good day for you thus far, sir?
It's been a great day, Ryan. It's sunshine here in Chicagoland, and it's a beautiful spring-like day.
Oh, so glad to hear it, that spring has sprung in Chicago. I was so blessed, and unusually so, I think, to grow up in a church that primarily sang a cappella hymns on Sunday mornings, Henry.
Wow.
And so that love of these old songs is very real for me, and pretty much made your book irresistible for me. It does seem there's a fresh interest in these beloved old songs by even my millennial generation today. Why do these great hymns and spirituals still hold such meaning for us, sir?
I think that they actually plumb the depths of your soul. And when you're singing them, I think it's wonderful that you sang them a cappella, because that way the music resonates with you in a way that it can't resonate with you with instruments. So that's really interesting, your experience. We listen to the music, we sing with the music, it goes to the bottom of our hearts, and the lyrics begin to resonate with us once the music starts to lift us up. And I think that these, the ones that I've chosen to talk about, certainly are the ones, most of them are very familiar. And those are some of the very ones that indeed, as you said, are the ones that have stood the test of time. And they also, I think, Ryan, they also have a message of hope and love in the darkness. I think just about every spiritual that I've chosen focuses on grace and hope and love, like What a Friend We Have in Jesus, for example. You find yourself at the bottom, you reach your hands up, and Jesus is there waiting for you. And so I think that's another reason that they probably stood the test of time.
That's a great point. There's an active journey that takes place in a number of these songs that I hadn't thought about before reading your book to the extent that I did. But you've been sharing these songs as a performer, as an educator, and as a writer for decades now. Why now did you want to explore them further in a work like this?
That's a great question, and I'll just be very generous to my publisher, John Sweeney, who, when I lost a job, wrote to me and said, Henry, I have a book you can write for me. And it was his title, and I said, well, John, let me think about it. I'll send you a book proposal. And Ryan, because I have lived with this music for such a long time, I grew up in a Baptist church, so we sang many of these hymns as well growing up. It sort of flowed out in many ways. It flowed out, these are songs I've been singing. As you said, these are songs I've been writing about, and I write some about gospel music for a couple of different publications. So it made it easier to pull out some of these songs, pull out the meanings. Well, not to pull out the meanings, but simply to live with them even more and in a more intentional way.
The book is called 15 Spirituals That Will Change Your Life. Mr. Henry Carrigan is with us, the celebrated guitarist, a music critic, and an author as well. Also, I love the fact that there's no subtitle to the book. Can I just say that? That's a bold move. Well done, sir.
I'm happy with that, too. It says that you're exactly right, Ryan, that the title says it all. You don't have to say how they're going to change it. You just know that when you listen to these, when you let the music wash over you, when you sing these songs, that there will be change, and you will feel that change.
It's so true. And I'm just excited to dig into the story of some of these great songs. How Great yeah. Thou Art is a beloved one for so many of us. Can you share a little bit of the story of the origin of How Great Thou Art, good sir?
Sure. The writer was in not the United States, but watching a thunderstorm essentially develop over a lake. He reflected on that and thought about, oh gosh, how great God is in this natural setting. He reflected on God's greatness. And so if you look carefully at the song, what he's done with that song is to talk about, in the very first verse, he talks about God's greatness in nature. And that's often the very first place that we encounter God, is in nature. And so, you know, many people say, oh, I find God best in nature, and I meet God in nature more than I meet God in a church sometimes, that sort of thing. And that resonated with him in a large way, because he had experienced that storminess and then the calm after that storm. So he experienced God's majesty in nature, and the first verse is about nature. The second verse then takes it to the next level and said, well, you know, nature's not quite enough. We find God through the Bible, too. So the second verse is about the Bible, the third verse is about Jesus, and the fourth verse is about the final revelation. Mm-hmm. So it was after that tremendous electrical thunderstorm on this lake in Switzerland, and then the calm that followed the storm, so to speak, how he wrote the song, and it reflects God's majesty in a way that might not be reflected in any other songs that we've talked about in the book. So.
It's a beautiful picture. It's so much fun to know the story behind it, so thank you for that. You also explored the George Beverly Shea performance of How Great Thou Art, which for many of us is, you know, the signature performance of that song. And
Right.
Think about what a phenomenon that was in the Billy Graham Crusades. You sort of have this unique perch, you know, as a performer, a man of faith, and an educator as well, and writer. Why do you think that was such a consistently awesome moment, that as so many came to faith at those crusades?
That's a great question. He found it sort of accidentally, too. I mean, the story of George Beverly Shea's coming to that is that it wasn't one that he had chosen to do initially, but it came to him sort of accidentally as he discovered some papers and some notes he had left behind somewhere. But I think that for him, I mean, when we listen to that song, and plenty of people have sung it after him, and I think other folks would attest to the power of versions that they've heard, of course, but there was something about being in a large community in a crusade, for example, and the power of just being in that throng of people, and Beverly Shea's just astounding voice, pulling people together, reaching down, grabbing them and having and asking them to have the same vision of God that he was articulating in that song in many ways. And so I think that, and it's just a beautiful performance. The way he performed it was always beautiful, and it touched many people's lives because of the simple beauty of the song. I think also, Ryan, what we were talking about a minute ago, Billy Graham was about welcoming people into the church. Billy Graham was about saying to folks, I love you, Jesus loves you, there's a way that you can come to Jesus and know Jesus and know God through Jesus. Without the music, it's hard to say, Billy Graham was a great preacher, but that music touched people in such a deep way that they were even more open to Billy Graham's preaching about everything, his message, actually. I think that combination of Graham and Shea touched so many people's lives, you know, I could say millions maybe, but certainly thousands, hundreds of thousands.
Absolutely.
So around the world. It was one of my father's favorite hymns, because he grew up listening, watching the Crusades, listening to George Beverly Shea. And just the same way that there are people today who might only know Vince Gill and Carrie Underwood's version of it.
Sure, of course.
Have been touched by that 3 years ago in the Ryman.
So powerful, man. Henry Kerrigan joins us today, a really, really fascinating guy, a conversation with the celebrated guitarist, a music critic, and the author of the brand new title, 15 Spirituals That Will Change Your Life, here on Faith Radio's On the Road. Ryan Thomas is my name. And I almost said it's my name today, but it's my name every day. That's the truth, Henry. I can attest to that.
All right, sure. It hasn't changed all these years.
Your first exploration of a song in the book is into Amazing Grace, which is quite apt, of course, is such a beloved song. Mm-hmm. And the story of John Newton's that led to the song may be familiar to some of us, but perhaps many of us, but you tell it really beautifully in the book. Can you give us that sketch?
Sure. I think we tend to think of John Newton as a slave ship owner, and all of a sudden this storm happened and he was on the boat, and all of it was a conversion experience immediately. And it didn't happen quite that way. So he was a sailor. He lived a life at sea and in service of the Royal Navy like his father had. And then he did almost drown when his ship capsized in the storm off of Ireland. He cried to God for mercy and converted to Christianity, but it wasn't till later that it dawned on him what it meant for him to be a Christian. He converted, but he continued to be involved in the slave trade. And then he started reading Thomas A. Kempis, Imitation of Christ. He listened to George Whitefield and Charles Wesley, two evangelists, revivalists of the time. And he eventually became ordained and started writing hymns. And then he wrote Amazing Grace after, I think 30 years after. It was 30 years after that dramatic conversion experience. So he didn't write it immediately after the conversion experiences. That's how the story is often told, but it was 30 years after it, after he had grown as a Christian, and after he had seen what it meant to be a Christian. I mean, he embraced the Christian life and the Christian walk, I guess, is the best way to say it, after that conversion, and then wrote Amazing Grace as a result of that.
One of the terms that is most memorable from the song is the term wretch, which many of us as children were wondering, why is the hymn talking about wrenches at this point? You know, what does this have to do with the song? But you explored a little bit of the meaning of that term in terms of the power of redemption. Can you dig into that just a little bit?
Yeah, that is a great question, because we don't use that word anymore. I mean, I don't know how often you go around calling somebody a wretch and or calling yourself that, right? but it describes someone who is either unhappy or unfortunate, someone who's despicable or for whom we have contempt. I mean, those are the different ways in which it's used, and I think that certainly reflecting on this, it applies in all of those ways to some respect. He thinks he's Newton, the writer, thinks of himself as somebody who was unfortunate and unhappy that he almost lost his life in this shipwreck. But he's also comes to view himself, once he decides to walk as a Christian, once he decides to follow the walk as a Christian, he also realizes that, some of these activities in which I'm participating are actually despicable. I'm trading in human flesh here. I'm trading slaves. I'm making other people, I'm oppressing other people. I'm putting them in a place that makes them less than human. And so that's when he realizes that he's separated from God in a larger way than he thought he was, and he seeks to be reconciled with God. And so that's why there's the talk about sweet sound of Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace does have a sweet sound. It has a sweet feel, and their sweet presence, and sweet not just in sugary, of course, but in the way that it reverberates in our life, I guess.
That's right.
Once we experience it, right? Once we experience it. And I think we all feel that. We sang that in the class I taught this morning. We sang Amazing Grace. I don't know how many of those folks even thought about that word, because they sing it all the time, right? But once the song reverberates, then that sweetness, By the final verse of the song, if you just sing the four verses that are most familiar to folks, by the final verse of the song, the sweetness of grace really does resonate with whoever's singing it.
Yeah, it's so true. Such a special song for so many of us, and really a special book, 15 spirituals that will change your life as they have for so many. We've been talking to the celebrated guitarist, music critic, and the author of this brand new title, Mr. Henry Kerrigan, today on Faith Radio's On the Road. And Henry, I don't know about you, but it felt like that went awfully fast for me.
It did go fast.
Thank you so much for taking some moments with us today. And if folks want to explore more about what you do and pick up a copy of the book, do you have a place they could start on the web to do that?
Sure. They can go to the publisher. The publisher is Paraclete Press. So there is paracletepress.com. You can go to your local bookstore, independent bookstore, and pick it up. You can go to barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com. All those are places where you can pick up the book.
Perfect. And we'll put a link on our page as well at myfaithradio.com. Mr. Henry Kerrigan, 15 spirituals that will change your life. What a great pleasure to meet you, sir. Thank you so much for your time once again, okay?
Thank you very much, Ryan. It's a great pleasure to talk to you, too. Enjoy your day.
The choir and Mr. Shea now sing for you, How Great Thou Art.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed.
Thank you so much for listening. Programming like this is available through your support, and you can learn more about partnering financially at myfaithradio.com. We'd also love to hang out with you during the week on Facebook and on Twitter. Just search for On the Road with Ryan Thomas. Talk to you again soon.